coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics, and the only episode I'm more scared to record than two episodes ago where we were talking about race.
I think this is probably the one we drug our heels on the longest.
We did.
On purpose.
We did. I guess we should introduce ourselves, not that anybody who's listening at this point doesn't already know. But I'm Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
Yes, indeed. I am here for you.
We're giving something a shot tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Cole, why don't you explain what we're doing here?
All right. Well, what we're up against here, the reason that we're going into this with some trepidation, is there are certain icons in comics that we know and love, but only, you know, from afar. It's like going to a really big high school, which works out well for this analog.
It does.
And, you know, there are people you're aware of, but you're not part of their group or their, you know they're there. You're familiar with them in a sense, but you're not that familiar with them. You haven't.
Sure, yeah.
And the same thing becomes true with comics. A lot of times there are comics you're aware of, but you've never really explored yourself adequately or at all. And one of those, very recently, within the last year or so, began a brand new incarnation on the medium we call television and turned everything we didn't know about it on its ear.
Yeah, that's safe.
And I'm talking about America's most wholesome comic, even more wholesome than the Harvey comics, because most of their comic characters
were whores. Dirty.
Well, they were just self-important rich people. They were
ghosts.
They were the undead. They were Satan.
There was definitely a baby Satan in that mix.
Yeah, there was a baby Satan. And somehow, you know, I always thought it was wild that Marvel got away with Damian Hellstrom, but hell, Harvey Comics would be getting away with Little Hot Stuff forever.
And they called him Little Hot Stuff, which is a crime against humanity in and of itself.
They had a witch. I mean, there was witchcraft and Satanism and the occult.
I'm surprised Mr. Chick of Chick Track fame didn't get a hold of them early.
Really?
And not let that. Yeah, that's an upfront.
An equal icon is Archie Andrews and the denizens are the students of the eternal students of Riverdale High.
Yeah.
They are America's favorite teenagers and have been to the point where they could have great grandchildren by now.
I was looking at great grandchildren. I was looking at like when Archie Comics came into being, and we're talking 1939. So do the math, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, you think some of your favorite comic characters are a little long in the tooth, but you're talking about these kids who were going to Riverdale High School before World War II.
Right. Yes, they were.
And they were in high school before World War II.
And you said something interesting in there that this reinvention or this iteration. And I think the thing that's really important to mention when we're talking about Archie is, you know, they've been around 79 years. And in that time, this Riverdale TV show, which is, you know, what we're ultimately talking about tonight, isn't the first sea change, iteration, major overhaul, I guess is a good way to put it, that the Archie universe has gone through.
Yes.
You know, we've had Archie in terms of Archie. We've had the double digest that y'all know and love. you know, most of another important fact about Archie Comics, since this is a comic show, is until very, very, very recently, Archie did not go direct market. Archie was only available in you know, your local, your finest local grocery store right next to the Chiclets and the Chapstick.
That was, it was in a rack next to TV Guide.
Yeah. Yes.
When that was a thing. And you would get the little digest-sized collections like Betty and Veronica or Archie and Pals or Jughead's Double Digest.
Jughead's Double D means something different now.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to...
Well, I think originally a lot of people didn't realize that Jughead was actually a ruminant.
A what?
A ruminant. So like a cow, he had multiple stomachs.
Oh.
Hence the Double Digest.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Yeah.
I'm with you now. I thought you said like a remnant, like that's some sort of strange undead, like which, yes, by the way, the lead up to this TV show, there were so you had, like I said, you had your Double Digest Archie, your Betty and Veronica, your, you know, there was a Life with Archie comic that launched that imagined two worlds. So there were two stories. There were two worlds they were telling in Life with Archie. One of them was, what if Archie married Betty? And the other one was, what if Archie married Veronica? And it told this kind of Robert Frostian road less traveled by story in two different directions, which is pretty rad. And then they went into Afterlife with Archie. And Afterlife with Archie was the first of their horror comic imprint. Later to be joined by Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and I think Jughead had a solo title. But this is where it was the post-apocalyptic zombie world.
I think it was Jughead Demon Hunter, where he went after a little hot stuff from
her. God, I wish. I would read the hell out of that.
Who wouldn't? I mean, would be the best cross-company crossover.
Are we talking about Mrs. Grundy and the Punisher now, if you remember that?
Oh. Archie meets the Punisher.
Archie meets the Punisher, and Grundy, for all of her bad attitude in the comics, I should say, definitely tries to seek some vengeance on that ass.
Well, see, there's that famous line in that comic. I haven't had any for decades, and you know, I think she mistook Frank Castle for being elderly.
Well, how could you? How could you not?
Scars. Yeah, just,
she's surrounded by 13-year-olds for the last 80 years of her life. Yeah, everything looks elderly.
She's been in the library there, being just doused in hormones on a daily basis.
I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah, it's like this rarefied atmosphere she's had to live in.
But I think that the point of that is that Archie Archie Comics, for as stalwart as we imagine them to be, you know, for as lasting and wholesome and, you know, influential in that respect as we consider them.
Yeah.
Has no stranger to massive change or trying different new things. So, The TV show, the Riverdale TV show, I don't feel like is as big a shock as maybe a lot of people thought it was, but it definitely was a pretty big shock.
Yeah, I think it comes down to your frame of reference. And if your frame of reference is wholesome, you become like that little girl who grew up watching Teen Titans and then starts reading Teen Titans and finds out that, you know, like Starfire is just an absolute... you know, raging in heat ho.
Oh, wow.
Was that?
I think you're fine. I think considering the subject matter tonight, I think
you let it
fly, baby.
Yeah, then it just becomes, speaking of raging in heat hoes, we can just launch right into.
That's true.
Yeah, we are here to talk about Riverdale, which is.
Thank God.
Yes, at last. Hey Kids Comics 275. I don't know much about Archie, but I know what I like.
And apparently it's high school boys with their shirts off.
Well, I tell you, I did not realize that Archie could, like, Thor it up.
Right. I didn't realize a whole lot of things, apparently.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah, because he's definitely ripping the Thor thing. Like,
he's ripping the Thor thing. That's...
I think that's the straightest way I could put it.
That's a sentence you just put into the world, ripping the Thor thing.
Ripping the Thor thing, so help me spread the word, kid.
We don't know what we're doing.
I'm going to be like a low-rent Stephen Colbert.
You're going to give him the bump?
Five people to use my words.
God, we don't know what we're doing tonight. I think that's, we need to be real transparent about that. Yeah, Cole doesn't know whether he's seen one season or two. I know I've seen half of one season. Like, we're in for it tonight, but we're doing it, baby!
We are doing it. The thing about it is, Catherine, Mrs. Jedi Cole, and I, you know, here's this Riverdale thing. I can't even say that I heard anybody say, hey, have you seen this Riverdale thing? I just thought, let's check this out. It could be interesting. It's Archie, and it's obviously not going to be Archie. It's like Van Halen said, you know, Jughead's Double Digest was never quite like this.
Was that a Van Halen?
That was a Van Halen.
Was that a Hot for Teacher reference?
That was a Hot for Teacher reference.
Jesus. I can't, well, I guess it works. I guess it works. Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts about this.
Oh, well, in fact, one thought was just imparted to me. Catherine said, you know, much like the sexy fill-in-the-blank Halloween costume, this was just like the sexy Archie costume on parade. It was just like going to a fashion show of Halloween costumes, and they were showing you the entire Archie line. Wow, I never realized you could sex up the Archie comics.
So, I don't want to get too highfalutin at the top of the show. We're only like 15 minutes in. But
and already I've coined another phrase.
You have. You're ripping a Thor. We're ripping a Thor tonight.
We're gonna riff some Thor tonight.
There's this concept, right? And this is the way I look at Archie. There's this concept of the I want to say Norman Osborn, but that's not what I'm trying to say. God damn it. The Rockwell idea of America and the, you know, what's on the surface. And there's a flip side to that concept, which is this Lynchian idea of what lives in the shadows, right? In these gates, you know, like he does a really good job with it in a lot of his work. You know, Twin Peaks.
Blue Velvet.
Blue goddamn Velvet. just most of his work is this idea that you see this on the surface in this homeowners association and these manicured lawns, but the secrets.
Dune.
Of course, Dune. I keep waiting for the Baron Harkonnen to show up to Jughead while he's eating at the diner.
Exactly. Have like a hamburger eating contest.
Eraserhead. We're just listing David Lynch. This is what we're going to do for the rest of this episode.
Wild at Heart. The whole analog is falling apart.
But I think you follow what I'm saying is there's this.
Oh, absolutely. The idea that under the facade of Middle America and the suburbs and the quiet, peaceful life is this dark underbelly that no one speaks of.
Correct. So this, I almost look at this as a between the panels Archie comic. Like on the surface, Archie's playing football. You know, Archie's...
Yeah, Archie can't decide. Betty, Veronica, that new chick whose name I can't remember at the moment.
What am I going to do? Oh, but right off camera,
yeah.
Murder!
Exactly. Yeah, when Jughead isn't chowing down on hamburgers at Pops, he's witnessing a murder!
So, yeah, like that's almost the way I see it, you know? Is that Lynchian idea of the secret of the secret America. where we were led to believe for the past 80 years that this is the most wholesome, you know, ideal version of America you could possibly have.
This is the utopian neighborhood.
Right. Nothing bad ever happened.
The 50s bill of goods we were all sold as a country. And the harsh reality is there are things we just simply don't speak of. We turn a blind eye. And in many ways, to take what you're – to extrapolate on what you're saying there, what happens in Riverdale that I think is absolutely brilliant is the most unlikely of heroes emerges in Jughead Jones. Because Jughead was just a clown. He was just the comic relief. He was the guy who would come in and you know, with a big old stack of burgers on a platter and said, "I just needed a snack."
Right, right.
And, I love between meal snacks. And, you know, Pops is back there laughing because he just, like, made another $10 because a big plate of burgers was cheaper back then. But in the character of Jughead, which, according to Bobcat Goldthwaite in one of the Police Academy movies, is a great American name. You get what becomes kind of the Greek chorus.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. Who's more likely, or who's the least likely Greek chorus is the "I need a snack, where's my bag of candy" guy that nobody takes seriously.
Yeah. You see, he's sort of the spritle of the group.
He's the snarf of
the snarf.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and they've taken who was the comic relief character, the you know, the class clown.
Right.
And they've made him the kind of self-imposed social outcast without becoming, you know, some sort of stereotypical cutout. And they've allowed through the vehicle of his own journalism to present a kind of personal expose. It's like Jughead's finally decided, okay, enough with the burgers, enough with the goofing around, enough with the silly crown. It's time to really talk about, you know, it's been 70 some odd years. Let's start talking about what's really going on here. Since apparently we're in purgatory because we don't age.
Right. Right.
You know, but it, you know, in the end he becomes a really, the ideal kind of, that classical chorus that is filling in the blanks, giving you the exposition and allowing the narrative to continue on its own, and sort of asking the questions that the audience is asking as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He's, in a lot of ways, because of the removal of self from... I don't want to say removal of self. Obviously, he's involved with the characters, but he becomes you in this real screwed-up world where Veronica's dad is in jail for embezzlement or... fraud, you know, and you get this weird American Horror Story coven Betty's mom situation, just like super weird manipulative, you know, idea. And we have we haven't gotten to Miss Grundy yet, but I don't know if I can.
Yeah, you're scratching the surface of all of the neuroses and other things that are going on you know, under this wholesome environment. And, you know, what's really fascinating is you get this, they do a great job of presenting the idyllic situation and then giving you the characters like, you know, who's the Blossom family, who are just like to carry with your Twin Peaks analog.
Oh, God,
there.
Yes.
It's like the Horns.
Yeah. No, this is Twin Peaks. This show is Twin Peaks, man.
Yeah.
It opens with a murder in a river. It's Twin effing Peaks.
Well, this is Twin Peaks and Smallville. They had like a May-December romance and had a baby. And that baby was Riverdale.
Well, I loved it. I loved – can I – one of the things I absolutely love about this show is the inclusion in a big way of Kevin Keller.
Yes.
Because Kevin Keller in the comics was a really big deal.
Yes, he's a latecomer to the Pantheon, to say the least. You know, you couldn't even hint at Kevin Keller in a kind of, you know, Charles Nelson Reilly way.
Yeah, the panel, you know, the panel that announces Kevin Keller to the world, you know, he's basically just sitting in the diner with Jughead, and I think it's Veronica that's totally into him, and he's like, well, you know, I'm not, he says, I'm not interested, and Jughead says, well, she's not going to let that stop you, or stop her, and he says, no, I'm gay, and that was it, like, boom, done.
Yeah.
Unlike the shit that we've talked about, here's the thing, I'm willing to go on record right now and say, Archie Comics has done way more right for inclusion than Marvel and DC and any of the other bigs out there, because we've discussed North Star's coming out,
which was just filled with pointless bombast.
Yeah. Yes. You know, we've discussed the inclusion of race. Guess who did it almost first?
Yeah.
And guess who put a major reoccurring black character into their comics pretty much before anybody else? Archie did. So gay characters, black characters, as they reinvent themselves, these things keep happening, and they deal with these issues in society, and then they put them next to People magazine.
What? And the National Enquirer.
Right.
And the other thing is, you know, we have talked often on this show about the writers of strong female characters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of remiss in that we never talked about, because we didn't really think of it that way, Archie Comics has been fielding strong female leads for decades.
Decades and decades and decades. A century.
They didn't wear capes or spandex, at least not all the time. These were characters that were, you know, really doing a lot for representing strong female characterization, most especially perhaps within the context of being minors and the limitations that, you know, come with – you can't do just anything you want when you're – high schooler.
Speaking of strong female characters, Cole, can we just get the elephant out of the room a little bit here and just go ahead and just have a little bit of a conversation about the thing that shocked me the most about this show. It wasn't the murder. It wasn't the Cheryl Blossom stuff. It wasn't the fact that Veronica's dad was in jail. They moved back to town to rebuild their empire. You know, it was none of that. It wasn't the androgyny that Jason Blossom, the weird David Lynchian Blossom androgyny. It was absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt Mrs. Grundy having an affair
with Archie. You can't decide as a male if you're excited or repulsed.
Well, I was just I was so,
because it's so unexpected.
I was so taken aback by it.
Yeah.
Because it's so far. So Archie is Archie, right? In the TV show, Archie's a little more torn between multiple masters. That's the drama in the first season for Archie, is do I become a football star? Do I follow my dream of being a musician? Or do I, you know, like that was...
Yeah, and of course, everybody's pulling him. It's like, you know, Archie, you can either be on the team or you can be a complete and total idiot.
Exactly. You can't.
And then
you
got Josie and the Pussycats being like, well, you know, you can be on the football team if you don't want to follow your dreams and be a real human being and not just a steroid automaton. It's like, I can't get cut a break.
No.
Then all of a sudden, here comes Miss Grundy saying, you know, she could use a little.
It's like the first episode's like, remember what we did this summer? And you're just like, wait, what? What just happened?
Yeah.
But the rest of the Archie gang, right? Sugar, takes on a new meaning. The rest of the Archie gang is fairly synonymous with their characters in the comics. Fairly. I'm gonna put it in big quotes, right? Because there are definite differences, but they're
Somebody
there.
Somebody had told me though that the neurotic Betty harkens back to like the early days of Archie.
Yeah.
Where she, apparently she was just seriously screwed up.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of, you know, am I wearing the right thing? Is how's my hair look? You know, Archie'll never love me. Like, you know that.
Yeah, but apparently she was like, you know, the whole palm gripping.
Yeah. Hand wringing, like.
Yeah, she was just a little bit on edge there. And, you know, and Archie just cruelly led both of them on for nearly
centuries.
Yeah.
For what feels like centuries. But Miss Grundy by far is the furthest afield from her comic roots.
Mrs. Grundy was like Aunt May dressed as olive oil in the comics.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you now. Yes. Yes.
If you envision Mrs. Grundy in the comics, it was like Aunt May was doing olive oil cosplay.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
But then you get this isn't your father's Mrs. Grundy.
You do. You do. You get a very attractive younger Miss Grundy. But because we've been introduced at some, well, not really at this point, but the expectation is, at least she's going to be close to, you know, in terms of attitude and poise, close to what we got in the comics, right? Like, okay, they sexed her up a little bit.
She's going from, you know, librarian to music teacher. That's not a bad leap. But I don't know if you had this impression, but my first instinct when I see this is like, okay, we're going Marvel Cinematic here.
Yeah, we're going to young it up. We're going to sex it up a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to ditch the Jessica Tandy Aunt May in favor of a younger model.
Well, Archie's dad was Luke Perry, for God's sakes. Like, we're going to sex it up. Everything's getting sexy.
What I love about that is I dearly love when iconic actors you haven't seen in a while are showing up in pop culture stuff.
What was the name of the actor that I can never remember who played Smallville's dad?
Oh, John Schneider.
John Schneider, right.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, and then to have played his mom, who already had a Superman franchise pedigree. Yeah, you know, they did some amazing stuff there, and that's one of the things I do love is where you see character actors like Molly Ringwald showing up.
Right.
You know, it's like you're having an 80s flashback.
Oh, man. Keep going on that.
The room. Because it, in many ways, I mean, you can look at it on the surface and say, okay, yeah, they're just trying to sex it up. They're trying to, add further conflict to Archie's life. I don't know if his girlfriend from Josie and the Pussycats is aware of where he's been.
No.
But I hope she never finds out because, you know, you just, when you're hot for teacher like that, you get a bit of a reputation. But, you know, she becomes one of the many secrets. And as the series goes on, you find that there are just layers upon layers of secrets behind the facade. It becomes almost like, you know, the old classic, Hollywood street where, you know, you go to the back and it's just a bunch of walls propped up.
Yeah. Totally.
And so, you know, behind this facade of this idyllic American suburban paradise, the reality is it's just a thin veil that's this desolate wasteland. And, you know, right at the core, the Blossom family are just as bad, if not worse, than everybody else. And they're all a bunch of inbred psychotics.
Like I said, man, this is Lynchian at its finest. Like the idea, this idyllic America that you're just ripping back the layers and seeing, like, the reveal that, because a lot of the first season is trying to solve the murder of Jason Blum, right? Like, that's kind of the whole shtick. And as you start running it down and piecing it together, you realize, like, one of my favorite reveals is that, oh, Archie was out there.
Yeah, so many people were semi-witnesses.
In or around the vicinity, but he wasn't out there alone. He was out there with his...
Yeah, and so neither of them can admit, because they can't, you know, you definitely don't want to both independently admit that you were right there by the shore.
Right. Oh, man. Like, it's good, but it's...
What were you doing out there? I mean, Archie could say, yeah, I'm out there, you know, running, trying to get my Thor on.
I'm trying to rip a Thor out over here.
That's right. Gotta beef up my Thor axe. But...
It's just for rip my Thor out. I'm getting my Thor ripped.
Yeah, I got my Thor ripped out there in the wilderness. And, you know, she could have been finding a natural place to practice the cello. But...
Right, right. I play the cello out
here. Silently. People heard gunfire, but no orchestral music.
But yeah. Okay.
But I think that what's interesting, and I don't know how far you got, is the reveal on Mrs. Grundy.
I don't know if I got there.
And I don't know if I should tell you or not.
You should.
I should. That we do find out. Because nobody can leave anything the hell alone. But then again, you wouldn't have much of a story if anyone could leave anything the hell alone.
Right.
And one of the prevailing themes in this is, was it Kevin is the kid's name?
Yes.
His dad's the sheriff?
Yes.
His dad's the sheriff, and everybody's playing junior detective over here.
Right. Nobody leaves anything alone.
Yes. That's... And it's undermining all of his investigations.
We're going to solve this crime.
They're all like playing Mystery Machine. And it's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to work. You're fucking with jurisprudence here. Unlike you kids, I have to answer to the court.
None of this is admissible in court, right? Like, none of what you're doing.
For destroying everything. You know, we could have taken all of these guys in. The Southside Serpents and the Blossom family at large, and
the Southside Serpents, was that the gang that
Was the gang that Jughead's dad was a part of?
Yeah. Okay.
And the Serpents are very much embroiled in a lot of the intrigues. They're sort of like the best and worst people, depending on you know, if you're on their good side, they got your back, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, no questions asked. You know, they're kind of like, you know, you become some sort of classical king, and with a nod, your bidding is done, and nobody's any the wiser you had anything to do with it. They just come back and bring you the head of your enemy. That's what I like to see. But, you know, the thing about it is you do get the reveal that Mrs. Grundy is just a traveling scam artist.
Oh, really?
And she has, in visiting Smallville, I think the girls discover, like, an old newspaper article about the retired librarian. I can't remember her first name all of a sudden, but what's brilliant is the picture in the article. They had someone, they affected a character that looked exactly like she does in the comics.
Oh, really?
They got some elderly model to dress up as Olive Oil. And I thought, God bless you. If you're going to go this route, go all in. And they did. And it was absolutely brilliant. And that underscored one of the things, and kind of where the title came from, is I don't know much about Archie, but what I love is what little I know is reflected brilliantly here and there. They'll bring, you know, here comes Hot Dog. Jughead's dog gets introduced.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not like the Chewbacca to Jughead's Han Solo, but you get Hot Dog. His sister is called Jelly Bean.
Yeah, which is an absolute giant nod to years and years and decades of continuity.
And there are all these little bitty things where I'm like, you know, I can like just reach over and grab Catherine while we're watching. I'm like, oh, that's a thing, you know. And I can't help but feel like this is doing what it took superhero cinema a long time to do, when the studio stopped worrying about the fact that not everyone who walks into a movie theater has ever cracked open a comic book, and just started making comic book movies that comic book readers could enjoy, and realize that if I don't get every damned reference, if you make a good movie, I'm going to enjoy your good movie.
Right, right.
And if I am a comic fan, and I do get every damn reference, or most of the damn references, it enriches my experience. And I think that's what's going on here. I know enough about Archie to be dangerous, to get some of the nods and some of the winks and what have you. And I love the fact that there are probably, for every one that I get, there's two or three or five that I don't get.
Well, and I think the best part about...
And I like to think that, that real Archie aficionados who are willing to say, to look at this as just a new take, an adult take on their childhood character, and not just be like whiny memes, childhood ruined. No, your childhood isn't ruined. your childhood has grown up. And if you are steeped in Archie, I'm sure there are even more things where you get chills and thrills, and it's just so cool that, oh, what a neat take on that. But it doesn't harm my experience as a casual, with my casual knowledge, or someone going in with no foreknowledge, just watching Riverdale as a show.
And I agree. I totally agree with that. And I think that something that they do really well, and what's really interesting about Archie continuity for however long, right, it's been around, with the exception, I'm going to say, of Mrs. Grundy. I think that's the big exception to the entirety of every rule that we're talking about tonight, is that, let's say, Jelly Bean, right? The difference is, you can be excited for Jelly Bean. Let's say Catherine asks who Jelly Bean is, and you can say, oh, well, that's Jughead's sister in the comics. Full stop. Nothing more needs to be said. You don't have to go back through, you know, the reveal of Adam Warlock coming out of the cocoon at the end of, you know, and go back through 80 years of continuity and explain Jim Starlin's vision. You can say, nope, that's all of that is. And I think that's something that really speaks to the beautiful simplicity of the comic book versus, let's say, the show, where in the comic, it's all, you don't need to, it's very straightforward. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I would suspect that you know, Archie comes out of nowhere in the 30s, and it's just you're thrown into, here's a group of high school kids, and you're going to get to know them as you read this, their adventures, and you don't need a lot of background to go on.
No.
And somehow this does the same thing on a grander scale.
Kind of.
And, you know, you're left to discover who these kids are.
But you're very comfortable with the iconoclastic ideas of who these people are, the archetypes, right?
Yeah.
You're very comfortable right away, which lets you do a saga. It pulls a saga on that ass, right?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, though, now, with in the context of all of the character, the cast of characters, one of the principal, I think Archie, like, any kind of ensemble cast like this has five or six principals.
Sure.
You have Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead, and the absent player in Riverdale, at least up to the point where I've seen it, is Reggie, who was the resident asshole.
Right.
And Reggie, you know, he was the acerbic, just, you know, had no... You did kind of wonder how he ever got into their clique in the first place, because he's just an absolute jerk. But I think that at the same time, you know, they were trying to represent a lot of high school archetypes that are amazingly timeless. But, you know, it just seemed like Reggie kind of got glossed over and left out, but they have managed to bring in every single character I ever was familiar with, and some that I'm vaguely aware, like Kevin. I knew that there was a character introduced in more recent decades who was gay.
Right.
And because they were addressing the fact that there are openly gay people in high schools, and it's not something that is hidden in the shadows anymore. And it's rather ironic that the character who embodies hiding in the shadows in high school for the better part of the history of Archie, you know, the reality in high schools during the entire run of Archie, is not only very openly, extremely openly gay,
right,
but is a major player in this. They bring this character front and center in the amateur sleuth department. And good on him for letting Moose, you know, just let loose, you know, kind of. Moose was your typical big dumb jock.
Right.
And I think that the big dumb jock, you know, they want to at least be certain where they stand on their sexuality. And you may not be that far where.
Oh, no, I got that far.
Yeah. So that was sort of like, okay, yeah, that actually makes perfect sense. Of yeah. all of the characters in the Archie Pantheon, Moose would be the one to experiment.
That's true. And never be questioned if yeah, such yeah, was yeah, the no desire. Oh, man. No, it's I haven't gotten into season two, but I understand that there's and I don't – I'm going to speculate, all right? We're going to play that game where we're like, okay, I've seen a few things, and I'm going to say what I think is going on. Because so season two, I know I saw a lot of trailers for season two and things for season two involving the Black Hood.
I guess I have not seen season two yet.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
weird
because
that first season was just so intense.
I know you had to take a break. I still and need then, to. I really want to watch them all. I just couldn't get there for myself.
But I see what you're talking about some sort of hooded character.
And I'm wondering if that's in reference, and I'm going to have to do a little more research, and by research I mean actually watch the damn thing, that if that is a reference to the Archie comic book superhero, yeah, it is the Black Hood. The Black Hood.
Oh, wow.
Which is an Archie.
What a great way to just incorporate. More, I mean, that's the brilliance here, is that they're incorporating the history of this comic and this comic company.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, it's, and it is an Archie, the Black Hood is an Archie comic book character.
The Crusaders or something like that, or, because Archie Comics did have a, at one time they were fielding, and they tried a couple of times. They actually did a thing where they were partnering with DC, I believe.
They did Impact Comics, where it was like the
yeah,
Fly.
Yeah.
What was the guy?
Jaguar.
And what was the Daredevil, the proto Daredevil? I can't remember what they called him. But yeah,
some of that was pretty good when they did that relaunch. And of course, the some villains from their own Crusaders actually appeared in an Archie comic where the gang all went to a comic convention. And these crooks were trying to, you know, use that as cover for whatever nefarious things they were up to, dressed as various characters, and the kids were kind of joking with him, pissing a couple of them off, but their boss had to explain to him, no, these are the characters you're playing, guys.
But yes, he is in season two. It is the Black Hood from Archie Comics in the later echelon of relaunches of those characters. The Black Hood is played more like a Scourge.
Okay.
A Scourge versus
just sort of a
vigilante.
Self-appointed, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it's playing to in the second season. So it is, and I saw that and I said, wait a second, this rings a bell. And I went, you know, and I never thought to look into it, but now that I am, it absolutely is who it is. There you go. Boom, done and done. It's so cool that they can do that, too.
Yes, that is amazing. I was not aware of that. I need to finally get around to watching. There's so many, like, new seasons of everything.
I know. There's so much.
It's
there's
like,
so
I
much
almost like, God bless you, HBO, for waiting 3.5 more years for Game of Thrones. Because there's so other many damned other things. They finally got another season of Preacher out. We're
God,
still
yes.
wondering,
Angel
are we ever
going
to get a season two of American Gods? But that, who knows?
If you haven't yet, and it kind of dovetails nicely into this, since we need to be wrapping this up anyway here shortly, is it kind of dovetails into this. You've got these this influx of more, I guess, less, let's call it less adult-based and more teen to early 20s demographically geared shows based on comics now that aren't the Netflix shows. But you've got The Runaways on Hulu, which was actually pretty fun.
Nice.
Cloak and Dagger, which I think
that looks pretty good.
I think is outstanding because it's all based around Roxxon Oil and just a whole bunch of cool shit. Then you got Riverdale, which I still think it suffers from CW face a little bit. But
well, I want to address, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that struck me, and I talked about this earlier as being sort of like if Twin Peaks and Smallville fell in love and had a baby, this was their child. And one of the things that impressed Catherine Knight tremendously is that we fought our way through seven or more seasons of Smallville.
Yeah.
Refusing to give up. It was almost like, you know, you're challenging me, but I will persevere.
It's a war of attrition at some point.
Yeah, at that point. And, it ended in, it's a tie.
We all lost.
Yeah, everyone loses. So pat on the back. So what we wound up with was Riverdale. It's almost like the writers of Riverdale suffered through every episode of Smallville as well.
Right. Well, I'm sure because
they did. They will take you right to the edge of Smallville angst, and then they'll give you this beautiful release. And what I mean by that is, it's like, oh, Clark, what's on your mind? I'll tell you in 2.5 seasons.
Right.
This, it's like, Betty, what's on your mind? I'll tell you on the next episode.
Right, after the commercial break.
I'll tell you in the third act. I'm like, the shit, it's the best I've ever known.
It's the best I've ever known. Thank you.
Like, God bless you, Riverdale. You're taking me right to the edge of everything I hated. And then saying, you know, we're with you. We know, we got your back. We know why you hated that. And here you go. And it becomes, if I was to look at an analog, it would be like, if you look at early Saturday Night Live and contemporary Saturday Night Live, those are like Riverdale.
Okay. And
everything in between is like Smallville because they try to drag crap out for too long.
Yeah.
You know, there's that period on Saturday Night Live where they would take a 3-minute sketch and drag it into 7.
Did you know that they relaunched Archie Comics in 2015 with new number ones?
I did not know that.
Did you also know that the Archie series, so there was an Archie and a Jughead. Fiona Staples drew it, a name you will remember.
Oh, yes, from Saga.
And written by Mark Waid. And the Jughead series was written by Haykins Comics favorite... not Grant Morrison. God damn, that would be a great book, though. I would read Jughead written by Grant Morrison all day. Written by Chip Zdarsky.
Okay. So, I was thinking maybe you were going to have... crap. Now I just had the name. Matt Fraction.
Matt Fraction. Well, Chip Zdarsky's Matt Fraction. They work together.
Okay.
Zdarsky's the one that did the Spider-Man comics that we were talking about
You know, J. Michael Straczynski's Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, God. Just, what was it, the Stanley jetpack just peeing all over? Well, that was a great joke for back in the USG days. We were talking about One Day More.
Oh, good Lord. That is a deep cut.
That is a super deep. That is a Tower of Babylon level deep cut.
Yes.
Oh, God. You know what? We should do you have any final thoughts here?
I think you were able to sort of gave me the window to express that final thought is if the teen angst that CW flavor just annoyed you, this is like that CW flavor without the bitter aftertaste.
They've got the formula done, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit, at least.
I think they've taken, you know, Smallville tried to blaze that trail. And now they're paving it. And this, it makes that sort of thing appealing, because otherwise it would be just another one of those, you know, what's the matter, Clark? And you just get that sort of nod of the head and the pursed lips, and it's just like, that's your answer to everything, Cal.
Well, I think they learned from every iteration. It's like AI that learns from, like, that runs Mario Brothers until it figures out, you know. But I think Smallville, and then you look at things like Arrow, and then you look at things like The Flash, and then you look at Heroes of Tomorrow, right? So you start looking at these, and everyone gets a little better about that, up to Heroes of Tomorrow, which they just kind of Katie barred the door.
It gives me hope for Iron Fist Season 2.
Well, Luke Cage Season 2 gave me hope for Iron Fist Season 2. Let me tell you something.
We just started Luke Cage, but I just feel like Iron Fist Season 2, it would be nice to see Iron Fist as Iron Fist instead of whiny ass.
Okay, Cole, I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? Luke Cage Season 2, Episode 10 might be the finest 1 hour of Marvel programming I've ever seen. Comic book programming. I'm not even going to call it Marvel. Comic book programming I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
You're going to get there.
The words of Vincent Vega, that's a bold statement.
It is an absolutely bold statement. You're going to get there, and then we can talk about Iron Fist Season 2.
Okay? All right.
Just trust me. If you've ever trusted me on this before, trust me on this now, live on Memorex, whenever we do this.
I have absolute faith in your ability to convey something brilliant when you encounter it.
I was edge of my seat for an entire hour. We need to do it. Once you get done, we'll do an entire episode on Luke Cage Season 2, because the villain is very compelling. You know, everything.
From what I've seen so far, it's just like, good night. This show can do no wrong.
Well, that first episode. How far in are you? I know we're talking about Riverdale. Sorry, guys. I'm triggered. How far in are you?
I think because of everything else that was going on, we watched the first episode, and we watched it so late at night, we were lamenting having got such a late start because necessity dictated we could not binge.
But did you you got to where we were introduced to Bushmaster, right?
Yes.
That opening Bushmaster scene.
But I love the fact that Luke Cage is giving us the damn Serpent Society.
I know. But that opening scene where we're introduced to Bushmaster is one of the most brutal things I've ever seen on a comic book. And I'm just like, oh, you want to set the tempo? Holy shit. Okay, we've just set the tempo. Like,
exactly.
All right. Wrap us up. We're going to get out of here. It's time to before we do an entire episode, another hour on Luke Cage that you haven't seen yet.
That's right. Highly recommend Riverdale, because you don't have to know anything about Archie to love it. If you're just vaguely aware of America's Favorite Teenager, this is the America's Favorite Teenager for the modern America. There's some points where, you know, the plot lines drag, and there's some things where you're sort of like, but that happens in the best of shows.
Yeah.
But as far as a compelling narrative that, if you're accustomed to shows about the young'uns like this, that just make you want to pull your head off, this has those moments, and then it takes that and says, you know, enough's enough.
Right.
And it's just an absolute brilliant rethinking and modernization of a character that has been around longer than we have. Almost longer than we have combined, but not quite. And to me, that, I think one of the things that makes it work is this sort of subconscious knowledge that this, as I said earlier, this is not your father's Archie. The fact that they've taken perhaps one of the most wholesome icons of comics and turned it into, you know, murderous intrigues and rampant sex things, and somehow make it approachable.
Right.
Where it's not like, oh, let's have Archie boff his teacher for the sake of having Archie boff his teacher. say it borders on it, but it isn't quite there because, Archie's a young buck and, he's already indecisive as all hell. He's can't decide between Betty, Veronica, his music teacher, one of the singer-songwriters from Josie and the Pussycats, Olympic gymnast Nadia Comaneci.
Nadia Comaneci in there? Oh, man.
I got something to the back. You could tell. You could tell that's what he's thinking about.
Yeah, it's what he's always thinking about, Nadia Comaneci.
He waxes Comaneci.
I bet you Nadia Comaneci waxes Nadia Comaneci.
Who doesn't? But, who doesn't? I mean, it's got that kind of 80s flashback capability, so you may as well just go there.
Yes. All right. Watch Riverdale, ladies and gentlemen. It's good. I will if you will. I'll finish it if you watch it. How about that?
Finish it.
All right. Where can people find this?
We are coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. You can write to me at, JediCole@yahoo.com.
Yes, that's it.
Specific to each show, so I don't lose things in the mail. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, NadioComeOnEach.com.
Oh, we should see if that's available. Put it right next to Bill Fingerbank.
BillFingerbank.com, that's right. And this is going to be a rocking summer for us kids here because we're going to go all Don Kirshner and rock it out. We have, we reached this milestone, 275 issues. We're getting closer and closer to our 300th issue with we're going to talk about the Sword and Sandals favorite 300. I was tempted to say Hercules.
Herrick.
Hercules, the class ancient Greek detective.
Wow! triple deep cut, ladies and gentlemen. What will the judges think about that?
Hercules is actually the resident, fallen from Olympus god in Muggerville.
He's good.
He just goes. Has adventures and solves crimes and drinks tea. We're going to have pretty shortly, we're going to have Hey Kids Comics Quarterly number 2.
Right.
Which is the Collection Assassin. And we're going to talk about, it's our annual rant, but we're going to make this a Hey Kids Comics Quarterly this time. Because San Diego Comic Con and their vendor exclusives. Pissed me off.
Yeah, this is a bad year for it.
Record levels. This is a bumper bad crop year for angry. And so we're going to be joined by Michael Fraley, a friend of the show. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show. And we also have, as timely as we can make it, our first ever Hey Kids Comics 90-Minute Giant.
Right.
Which is something that's been in the works for a long time. And it seemed only appropriate that something we had in mind for a special with Eddie Medina, I Go Ditko.
Yeah.
This was on the back burner for about a year. And it seems like, our hand has been tripped with the passing of Steve Ditko.
Yeah.
We definitely need to pay tribute to the man. So we've got a lot of really cool stuff coming up for you. Some specials. We've got probably going to be doing some crossovers here with some other shows soon. And we don't normally, just jump from one non-comic medium to another back-to-back like this. But damn, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Damn.
Right. God, so good.
Yeah, so size matters not. Will be issue 176, bumping the Hey Kids Comics team-up featuring the New Mutants by an issue, but damn!
it's worth talking about. It's worth the bump to talk about that movie, for sure.
And
I can't believe we got through a Riverdale, man.
We did it. There was much dread and trepidation, and we have crossed the River Styx, and now we'll be moving on to damn.
Truth serum.
Oh yes,
so good. All right, so at HK Comics Show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, still putting new stuff up there on the reg. Yeah, watch Riverdale. It's a lot of fun. It'll blow your mind in the first 20 minutes. And as long as you're in an off season and your life doesn't get completely nutty, you'll be able to watch more of it than I did. And
I want to point out that Riverdale is to Gingers what the Wizard of Oz was to little people.
Oh, that's good. Okay. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, buy, collect, enjoy your comics. Join us next week when we talk about Damn, Wasp. And we'll see you next week. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Damn it. Just damn it.